When they were purple with heather, and the lights were different from those of any other place she had ever seen. She had so far had a very interesting voyage from England. She had not been intending to come home yet to Scotland, as she had been happy living with her uncle in London and helping him with the book that he was writing. Very unexpectedly, her brother, the chieftain of the MacAyle clan, had insisted that she should return home. Venora's mother had died when she was not quite 17. Her parents had been talking about how she should finish her education, and the far north of Scotland was not the place to find tutors or schools that would teach her what she wanted to learn. Venora's mother had been a relation of the Duke of Buccleuch, one of the richest dukes who owned more land in Scotland than any of the others. Her brother, for many years, had been the Secretary of State for Scotland, and he had, on his retirement, been made Lord Blairmont. When he heard his sister had died, Lord Blairmont invited Venora to come to London, and suggested that she should stay with him and attend a finishing school, which was what her mother had always wanted for her. Her father agreed, and Venora had gone to London, and she was excited at moving into a world she had never seen before, but had heard so much about. Her uncle had greatly enjoyed her company. He had never married, and so he was somewhat lonely. He also, as time passed, found Venora so intelligent that she could help him with a book he was writing about his years as Secretary of State for Scotland. He owned a large library, and Venora found herself absorbed not only in the books he wanted her to research, but also in those she chose for herself. She was, in fact, very happy with her uncle, and it never occurred to her to want to return to Scotland. Then, unexpectedly, so that it was like a sharp blow, her father died suddenly of a heart attack. This meant that her brother, Ewan, became chieftain of the MacAyle clan. 6 months after he had taken up this responsibility, he sent for Venora.
"I really cannot understand it, Uncle Angus," she said. "Why Ewan wants me to return? After all, he must be very busy with the clan. He always had different ideas from Papa, and will now be putting them into action."
"I shall indeed miss you, my dear," Lord Blairmont replied, "but I think you ought to go. If ever you want to return, you know that I shall be waiting for you, eagerly."
Venora was almost in tears when she left. She had spent nearly 3 years in London, and had made great many a friend. It was an effort to turn her back on them and return to Scotland. By a lucky chance, a close friend of Lord Blairmont was going to Edinburgh in his yacht, and he offered to take Venora with him, which made the first part of the journey very pleasant, but she also wished that she had time to see Edinburgh. She had read a great deal about the famous city when King George IV had visited Scotland for the first time 2 years earlier, when he had received an enthusiastic reception which surprised everyone. "If I cannot go and see Edinburgh now," Venora told herself, "perhaps I will be able to do so later. I cannot imagine that I shall find a great deal to do except sit by the river Orley and watch Ewan fishing." Lord Blairmont's friend had found her a passage on a ship from Edinburgh to John O'Groats. It had none of the comforts that Venora had enjoyed on the yacht, but she was a good sailor and enjoyed being at sea. She was able to gaze out at the glorious coastline of Scotland all the time they sailed north. The Orley was the river on her brother's estate, and it ended in a fishing village by the sea called Orleypool. Venora learned from the captain that he invariably called in there, and so there would be no difficulty in her disembarking when they arrived. On arrival, she found her brother's servants waiting for her at the harbour, with a carriage drawn by 2 horses. She had, just before the ship arrived at Orleypool, been entranced as they passed the bay where, standing out majestically, was Kildonna Castle. Ever since she had been small, she had heard about...